recommendations, and I do not find where that will come up again. Could you enlighten me, sir, as to where that discussion could take place in such a way that it could affect the vote of this assembly?
Number five could conceivably be a recommendation in which that type of discussion could take place. That's just a personal opinion.
Thank you, sir.
Microphone 11.
Newton Brooks, Gulf Coast. I move item 2 be amended to read that after that the sinfulness of abortion, cruelty, and be deleted.
You want to say available resources so that the sinfulness of abortion may be fully understood. Is that what you want to say? Does the assembly understand that without too much elaboration? You have it written out, or you will. The motion is to delete a couple. Motion is to delete. Did you get a second?
Yes,
I thought so. The motion is to delete two words, I believe. No. Cruelty and, right. Two words. Cruelty and. Recommendation number 2, and that's all we're talking to. Is that what you want to speak to? Does anyone want to speak to that? You want to speak to that. Number 9.
Long, Grace Presbyterian. I think we need to remember that cruelty is sin too. Lack of love toward the unborn child is cruelty, and cruelty is sin. And it is not bringing in an unnecessary issue. I think it's something that ought to be said, and I speak in favor of the language of the committee.
All right, sir. Microphone 6.
6, Boyce Spooner, Western Carolina. Remember that many of the methods of termination of pregnancy are extremely painful. Extremely painful. Salinization, for example, is one. And this is cruelty. This is cruelty.
Were you speaking for or against the amendment?
Against
the amendment. Someone wants to speak for the amendment? Are you not interested in the amendment at all? Well, then I think we're ready to vote. Oh, you are in the amendment.
Kennedy Smart from Mid-Atlantic Presbyterian, I want to call for the question, Mr. Moderator.
This is the first time you've waited this long in the assembly to do that. The deletion of cruelty and is before us. Recommendation number 2. That was not intended to be facetious. This is a serious matter. Dr. Bogue, you have something you want to say?
Yes, I would like to just briefly summarize the committee.
All right.
Thing.
Question hasn't been called for. Question has not been called for.
Oh, I thought that.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Kennedy did, yes. Already. Do you wish to terminate debate? If you wish to terminate debate on this issue, will you say aye?
Aye.
If you want to continue, say no. Dr. Bolger, a closing
just,
word.
Just very briefly, sir, one of the things we as a committee felt, I think, increasingly aware of was the importance of the whole educational picture. Our task given to study practical implications of this, and one of the biggest practical implications is that people, abortion is very remote. They may be opposed to it in principle, but there's just no way that you can say that it's not cruel to, I mean, if this week this whole assembly were killed in these variety of ways, we would call that cruel. And the language, it's hard to conceive why the language could possibly be out of there and what objection there would be in it.
All right. We're going to vote on the amendment. The amendment is to delete the two words. If you favor the deletion, will you say aye? If you oppose the deletion, will you say no?
No.
We're going to vote on that recommendation without amendment as it is printed. If you favor that recommendation, will you say aye?
Aye.
If you oppose it, will you say no? We're at the next one.
Number 3, that the Committee for Christian Education and Publication, under the auspices of the stated clerk,
be directed to have this report published in an acceptable pamphlet format as soon as possible, expenses to be borne by the General Assembly, and that this publication be sent to each church and pastor with additional copies available for sale to the Christian Education and Publication Office, in order that Christians may use this as a guide for their own study and for distribution by them to government officials and others. I move it.
Been moved and come to the second of the committee.
Mr. Moderator, that will take money, and I think it ought to probably be referred to the committee on commissions on administration to be sure they get it into the budget. I think you ought not to take action on it at this point. This is not so you should not do it, but rather to refer this matter.
We'll defer action on this recommendation until we've heard from the Committee on Assembly Operations. We'll go on to the next recommendation, I suppose.
I apologize for not bringing that. I thought of it, but I thought it was included in our mandate and expenses for the committee. Number four, that the General Assembly make available through the Christian Education and Publication Office a slide tape presentation on abortion, as offered by the Ad Interim Committee on Abortion, accompanied by a copy of this report. I think it's in the same category. The expense wouldn't be great, but perhaps this would fall in. Maybe I should.
If you accept it as being in the same category, we'll put that with the other one to be reported back in the same way. Number five.
That we remind all Christians of their duty to show compassionate love and understanding to families in distress as a result of pregnancy, and to offer these families sympathetic counsel and help for physical needs where required. This duty is especially incumbent upon us as we minister to persons contemplating abortion. The moderator, I move it.
It's been moved and comes to the second of the committee. The commission at microphone 615 has been waiting for this moment.
The moderator, John Terlau, Gulf Coast Presbytery. On the grounds that the door has now been opened for this question, I would like to have this matter clarified so that I will know what I'm voting for. The mention of the morning after treatment was mentioned. I also raised the question of rape and incest, and what I was thinking of course, is the emergency room treatment of rape victims. If we truly hold that the life begins at the moment of conception, would this preclude some of the emergency room treatments that are now offered in the case of rape and incest? And if not, I mean, on what principle would it not? Would it mean that simply just because we are not sure whether life has been formed or established, that as long as we don't know it, that we can go ahead and perform these treatments? Would somebody clarify that for me, please?
Mr. Moderator, may we have Dr. Divin or Dr. Thompson want to respond to that?
Yes, sir.
Rape is very rare in pregnancy or conception occurring after a forcible rape is exceptionally rare. First of all, the emergency room treatment of rape is basically the administration of the morning after pill, which is the method of action of the morning after pill is that it prevents ovulation. It does not prevent implantation. It prevents ovulation. Conception never takes place when you give the morning after pill. I hope that might clarify that.
I believe if I may include, Doctor, he's asking if these recommendations preclude some treatment in an emergency room for a woman who has just been raped.
Yes, it would not preclude any treatment. The treatment that is rendered is the administration of this medication and other things such as ORVs and different things that would prevent conception. So that would be the case. And no, it would not preclude treatment.
Moderator.
Wait a minute. The brother asked a question. Are you satisfied as a result of the answer that you got to your question?
I would just like to ask the doctor on the same basis on which he said, for example, that no physician could say for sure that something would result in the death of the mother. Is he saying that there is no possibility whatever that the treatment provided in the emergency room would result in the elimination of
of an egg that had been fertilized. Mr. Moderator, if I may respond, I think this is just the more general question. Should a conception occur in spite of preventive action that was taken, this report's intention would indeed be, once there is a baby, once there is conception, once there is human life, then at that point abortion would not be acceptable. Microphone 16.
Marion Canfield, Central Georgia Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, I would like to direct a question to Dr. Thompson through you, if I may. I believe, sir, that I heard you contradict yourself. You said a moment ago that life began at the moment of conception, and if I heard correctly, you said that the morning after pill prevented ovulation. It did not destroy or fertilize there. Is that correct?
Yes, that's not a contradiction. Ovulation is the release of the egg from the ovary of the mother. So, conception or the union of the sperm and egg does not ever take place because the woman never ovulates, never produces the egg due to the effect of the pill.
In that event, then, is not the morning after pill useless?
The what?
Is not the morning after pill useless?
No, it's not, because ovulation could occur the next day, and the sperm is still alive at that time, so conception could take place the next day, so it's still necessary to give the medication to prevent ovulation, to prevent any chance of conception taking place.
But in the event that the conception has taken place, then the morning after pill is useless.
It is ineffective at that point. Right.
Thank you, sir.
We're stretching a little bit the motion that's before the House. When I suggested earlier that number 5 might be a place for some sort of a suggestion, I was thinking that a motion could be made or an amendment or something to number 5, but we're really stretching the debate at this point. I don't want to stretch it until it prompts.
Dr. Taylor, remind me that when the report as a whole is brought up again, so there can be anything you want to
all right, yes. I've been reminded that when the report as a whole is brought up, that then new items might be at that time proposed if there are such items in the minds of some commissioners. So that's always there. I've also been reminded by the stated clerk that the rules provide that referral of matters for financing or funding do not hinder the General Assembly from adopting those matters pending such financing or funding. We can adopt those recommendations and then refer for financing or funding if the Assembly wishes to do so. It does not mean that this cannot be acted upon until the Administrative Committee has brought in its report. So if, Mr. Chairman, with all due respect to the burden standing at the mic, if you wish to move 3 and if the 3 and 4 and if the Assembly wishes to act on 3 and 4, it may be so, and refer to the Administrative Committee, or it may be what it's already done. Point of order for 15. Order of the day. Let me just find out what we're going to do with 3 and 4. Are we going to leave 3 and 4 acting the way we did and just go on? Or you want to go back?
Yeah, I mean, we can just finish up 5 and get back up and I can leave them pending approval by the
committee. He has no reason why you're not satisfied just to leave them the way you did it.
No, I don't.
Okay, you're satisfied leaving the way you did.
What if you have to make me happy right now?
All right. We've got 5 before us on the floor. We're going to act on 5 before we call the order of debate. That is, it's no great debate. Number 10, do you have debate on 5?
I have a question, Mr. Moderator. Paul Vetter, Home Ruling Elder from Central Florida Presbytery. I have a question concerning some of the terminology that I'd like clarified in this paragraph when we speak of
point of order number 7.
Gene Case, Grace Presbytery, I question the prerogative of the moderator to contravene the agenda of the Assembly as pertains to the order of the day.
The point of order is very well taken. We will reset.
Mr. Moderator, we do have a number of announcements that need to be handled before you actually reset. Are you ready for those?
Announcements? Will you please wait for the announcements?
Mr. Moderator, the Judicial Commission to hear the complaint of a member of the Westminster Session against Tennessee Valley, or members of the Westminster Session against Tennessee Valley, will meet in the wait room. That's the wait room. It's off the auditorium over here, immediately upon the recess for dinner. All the we are requested to meet with the commission. The Committee of Commissioners on Insurance and Annuities are asked to meet at 7 p.m. at the podium, 30 minutes prior to the reassembling of the assembly. 7 p.m., Committees of Commissions on Insurance and Annuities. Committee of Commissions on Judicial Business request the opportunity to present a partial report. Well, we'll try to work that in as soon as we can. The assembly... Well, the Bills and Overtures is asking to be excused. Maybe let me suggest that Bills and Overtures ought to meet right here. The members of the Committee of Commissions on Bills and Overtures meet right here, right after the dismissal, so that you can talk about where, when and where you want to meet. What else, Pat? We got one. Administration Committee. Is that the Permanent Committee? Permanent Committee also wants to meet, to be called right here. Permanent Committee on Administration to meet right up front. Talk about a meeting time. Mr. Moderator, I believe that's all the announcements, except for some that we had. Maybe ought to repeat a couple that were given earlier. One with regard to the Right to Life meeting, that there is a meeting in a dining room upstairs in the Commons at 5:30 p.m. to find out what Reformed Christians are doing about this matter. And then also the for those interested in forming a presbytery in of the Northeast, are to meet at the corner of the science of the Commons towards the science building at 5:30. I judge that to meet in the dining area in the corner towards the science building at 5:30 p.m. Assembly is in recess until 7:30. They were gone, man. Hey, Alan.
Is James Moore? Is Jim Moore in the audience? Just a minute. Jim, come on up here. He's going to preside. The assembly will please come to order. The assembly will please come to order. Edwin Elliott, you are already at microphone 10. Will you open the evening session with prayer, please, sir? Let us pray. Our Father God, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving for thy mercy, and we confess before thee that we have sinned in thy sight, and we ask thy forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, grant thy forgiveness to us as individuals, as presbytery, and as a general assembly. We ask for thy guidance for the meeting this night. We remember as we ask for thy guidance that all things are according to thy providence, so according to thy will, men live and men die, churches rise and churches fall. And grant that by thy mercy we might be in accord with thy will and thy purpose. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Moderator.
Just 1 minute. I've asked the Reverend James Moore to preside over our evening session this evening. Jim, the Lord help you.
Amen. Where do we start? I'll just read my book right after. We are going to try to finish. We've got a special order. We've got two special orders on. We're going to try to finish abortion and then move to the special order on Christian education.
Well, that's special order takes 2 weeks.
Well, both of them are special orders. In other words, the chairman of the Christian Education Committee is agreeable. He had a special order set for right after supper, but we the other was a special order.
Will you explain that? Mm-hmm. Mr. Clerk, will you instruct us as to what is before?
Mr. Moderator?
Are you rising? Will you tell us what point you're rising to?
I am rising to ask if it's possible to introduce a personal resolution.
Not at this time. We have a special order and business.
I request that as soon as it is possible, I be allowed to present a personal resolution, if I may please, sir.
Very well, sir.
Mr. Moderator, we are in a sort of complicated situation. We were dealing with one matter of business, which was a special order, namely the abortion report, which we are almost finished with. Another special order was set for just after we reconvened Christian Education. We've spoken with the chairman of the Christian Education Committee, and he's agreeable to let us try to finish the abortion and then move to the Christian Education after that. And then if we finish that, we will go back to the Mission to the World and try to finish that up this evening.
If that is agreeable with the Assembly, we will continue with the report of the Committee on Abortion. Number 4. There is a motion on the floor on recommendation number 5. Mr. Clerk, would you read that motion to us?
And Mr. Moderator, we have just 15 minutes left on this particular matter.
What is the motion?
Shall I read it?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if you read the motion, please, sir. Recommendation 5. That we remind all Christians of their duty to show compassionate love and understanding to families in distress as a result of pregnancy, and to offer these families sympathetic counsel and help for physical needs where required. This duty is especially incumbent upon us as we minister to persons contemplating abortion. You find that on page 1609. Now, who is at the microphone number 6?
Mr. Moderator, Boyce Spooner, Western Carolina.
Mr. Spooner, I want to make an amendment to that number 5. After the word abortion, add these words. Further, that presbyteries and congregations give every assistance to Christian groups whose purpose is to help pregnant women to have full-term pregnancy rather than resorting to abortion. That the courts of this church and their members give this assistance through their deacons, their sessions, and where possible through their women's groups. If that is second, I'd like to speak. Is there a second to that motion? Very well, sir. Just a minute, please, sir. Has that been written out?
Can we get a copy?
Very well, sir. It's just a very practical thing. We sometimes get our heads in the air with it. In Florida, we had just such groups organized to take care of these problems. And I think they are already existing in many of our states. Many of our areas, connected with the Right to Life movement, where it's possible for us to channel our concern and our compassion through these groups rather than to just simply try to go it alone.
There are many of our neighbors, many of our communities, who have these problems, and rather than have them resort to abortion, I think it's the Christian compassion to see as best we can how we can help them meet this crisis in each of their lives.
Are you ready to vote on the amendment? The question before the House is, shall this
Recommendation number 5 be amended with the following terms. After the word abortion, further the presbyteries and congregations give every assistance to Christian groups whose purpose is to help pregnant women to have full-term pregnancy rather than resorting to abortion. That the courts of this church and their members give assistance to their deacons, their pastors, and where possible, to their women's groups. Are you ready to vote? All in favor of amending this recommendation, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is carried. The amended recommendation is before you. What is your pleasure? Are you ready to vote? Number 16. Mr. Chairman, Tony Bryant, Evangel Presbytery, I would like to move that we simply renumber the recommendations, moving number 5 to number 1, and then renumbering the others after subsequently. Is there a second to that motion? Mr. Chairman, are you ready to vote? The motion is that these recommendations... Number 14.
I have a question to ask on this number 5. As we minister and witness to these people who are in trouble,
I'm very sorry. That is not relevant to the motion. The motion is that we change the numbering of the recommendation.
May I speak when that's clear?
I beg your pardon.
Then may I speak to number 5 or number 1 after it's changed?
Well, you'll have to keep the floor. The action that is requested is that the numbers be changed. Now, you've already spoken once. No, you haven't spoken of number 16.
Mr. Chairman, the reason I would ask for this change would be that, as well as getting our doctrinal ideas on abortion straight, let's also offer those who find themselves in this type of predicament with some type of love and guidance and counseling that they might be able to practically handle their problem.
The motion is that these recommendations be renumbered so that number 5 becomes number 1, and so forth.
Pardon,
Mr. Chairman. Yes, number 9.
There is no second.
The moderator declared there was seconded.
Oh, he did it.
Are you ready to vote? The motion is that we change the numbering of these recommendations so that number 5 becomes number 1. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The motion is law. Number 14.
You're not voting on number 5 after this.
No, sir, we've already passed number 5.
No, sir, we did not. No, sir, we did not.
The clerk has corrected me. Very well, number 5 is before.
Thank you, sir. I'm Alan Long of Louisiana Presbytery, and I had a personal experience in this abortion deal, and I'd like to ask a question. Some of our friends, and we attempt to witness to them when they're in a position where doctors and surgeons, in spite of what report we have here, say that an abortion must take place. Are we to tell them that they had let her die? You see, I had this experience that I had to make that decision, and we weren't looking for an abortion. We were told that it must take place. Now, how do we witness to them? Let her die? Say that, child. I tried to get to the mic when it was up, and I couldn't, but I'm just asking now for some information on some inspection. As an elder in the Louisiana Presbytery.
Number 13.
cannot take a word of personal privilege to, it's a hard time for that question.
No, sir, that's not a personal privilege.
Now, just answer it, then. May I be that?
Yes, sir.
The very phrase of absolute medical evidence is a phrase that is so relevant that it's a crying shame, and I'm speaking about some personal experience. I now have a 4.5-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son, and my wife is carrying my 4.5-year-old daughter. A medical expert, a specialist in the disease that my wife has, told us that we were to have an abortion. And we sought out a competent Christian obstetrician who held convictions against abortion. There were even no serious medical problems. I wasn't the fact that he had to medically sustain her during that 9 months. In fact, her health was better those 9 months than it had been in the 2 years before. And so I think that, yes, we can call people to seek other counsel and not just take one medical advice, but go to a competent Christian doctor and get some other advice.
Are you ready to vote? The recommendation number 5 as amended is before you. Unless there's request for the reading of it, I put the vote. All in favor of number 5 as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is carried.
Mr. Moderator, before moving the number 6, it was called to my attention upon recess by members of the committee and also others that it was not a matter of indifference on between the two options that were suggested for handling 3 and 4, and it would be far more expeditious and proper to deal with them now and approve them pending financial approval of what is proper terminology is, and if it's permissible, I would like to go back and pick up 3 and 4 at this point.
Then we ask the clerk, was the disclosure of the Administration Committee an option of the General Assembly?
Mr. Moderator, I suggested that referring, and then as I went back and reread the rules, I realized that you really ought to act on them and then simply send it for the adding of this as a budget line. In other words, there's no reason to defer action, but we ought to go ahead and act, and if we want to print these things, then we're going to send it to the Committee on Administration to have them budget the money to do so.
The recommendation is a popular defer, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman,
number 3. That the Committee for Christian Education and Publication, under the auspices of the stated clerk, be directed to have this report published in an acceptable pamphlet format as soon as possible, expenses to be borne by the General Assembly, and that this publication be sent to each church and pastor with additional copies available for sale to the Christian Education and Publication Office, in order that Christians may use this as a guide for their own studies and for distribution by them to government officials and others.
Mr. Moderator, I move it.
What is your pleasure? I see no one attempting to discuss number 12.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to direct the question of the Senate. Where is the book? Pharmacy Valley Presbytery. Is there not incredible material that has been printed that is system that we do not have to incur the expense of printing up more material? Material that we can purchase without the cost of printing? And to distribute ourselves.
There is a considerable amount of material that is there that represents different things. We included some very selective, by no means exhaustive, resources in the bibliography. It is the conviction of our committee, as I think I'm reflecting their attitude, that there is yet something of a distinctive and unique contribution in this particular report that is our statement, our position, and is worthy of being added to existing literature rather than just letting it be covered in other existing literature. And the fact that it is put together in a
in a fairly easily publishable form that we trust that things will not be sealed or done. Are you ready to vote? The number 12. Mr. Moderator, Von Hathaway, Joe's Secretary. Should there not be an editorial amendment in line 3, the word born, B-O-R-M-E?
Mr. Moderator, it's already been taken care of.
Are you ready to vote? Is it both? Recommendation number 3 is before you. I'll not read it. All in favor of adopting this recommendation, say aye. Opposed, no. The motion is carried. Number 4. That the General Assembly make available to the Christian Education and Publication Office the slide tape presentation on abortion as offered by the Ad Interim Committee on Abortion, accompanied by a copy of this report. I move. What is your pleasure?
Aye.
Number 10.
Can I speak for this?
Yeah,
I'm
ready.
Huh?
Number
12, I think. David Browning, North Carolina Secretary. I need an amendment that the GEO make available to the Christian Education and Publication Office. Loud tape presentations on abortion representing the position adopted in this report, accompanied by a copy of this report. I've got a second, I'd like to speak to it.
It's been moved and seconded that, did you get that, Mr. Clark? You'll have to have it written, I'll ask you.
If I'd had the time, I would have put a little more on the end of that motion, but my reason for making it is double. First of all, I gather from what is said in the report that there are other slide post presentations on abortion which represent the same position that this report adopts. In this case, it's not clear to me that we need to produce one ourselves. Secondly, while I appreciate the work that was done and put into this presentation, I myself would be unhappy seeing that as representative of the material that our denomination produces, simply on the technical level. These points were brought out by Mr. Spooner earlier, and I think it does no discredit to the committee to point them out. It's just simply a fact that audiovisually, it needs a great deal of work. Also, we didn't hear the tape part of it. We heard this, I believe, didn't we? Just spoken aloud, and it's not clear to me how the narration would go when it was actually done. I think if we are to have this presentation, then it's got to be sent to somebody that works with audiovisuals and done up in a more professional manner. This could be done, but it's not clear to me that's necessary either. That's why I put the motion in the form I have.
Would you allow the moderator to read the amendment? We follow it as it is in the report of the committee that the General Assembly make available to the Christian Education and Publication Office the slide tape presentation on abortion presenting the position adopted in this report accompanied by a copy of this report and if it is
Leave that last half a clause off. That's what I wanted to add, but didn't have time to, and I think we can just present the motion without it.
Would the amendment then stop with the word report?
Yes, and it's stuck in the current.
What is your pleasure? Are you ready to vote, Mr. Chairman?
If I may respond, two things. First, we were aware as a committee of our limitations in the field of media and the problem there. And there may be some solution further that the Assembly wants to take. But as far as the substantive issue, we had a couple of presentations before us as a committee to see what was available. And we felt they were lacking in the testimony and what we felt needed to be said, particularly in the stress on the biblical and theological basis, an effort on our part, I thought, to de-emphasize some of the what I judged as being objected to before it was even shown, of what could be such an emotional appeal. The Travis used only that which is necessary to make that approach. So many of them are available, had a humanistic rationale behind them to a considerable extent. And we thought something more is needed. That's our desire. We realize that something far better might be able to be done, but we recognize our lack there. And so we're concerned about the substance of it. Somebody asked that it be the amendment be read again. Shall it be read again? Mr. Coach, will you read it?
That the General Assembly make available through the Christian Education and Publication Office flag tape presentation on abortion, representing the position adopted in this report, accompanied by a copy of this report. The difference is the substitution of flag tape presentation for the phrase "the flag tape presentation."
I think there's a wording difference as well, but are you ready to vote? Number 11.
Mr. Moderator, I might just say that I understand that there really is only one other Christian flag presentation which is available. I'm not positive about it, that's my understanding. And secondly, there has been some interest, I'm sure, Presbytery the General Assembly today, of a professional organization interested in working with us in actually making this presentation of a professional quality. Are you for or against the amendment?
I'm against the amendment.
Are you ready to vote?
Yes.
Number 12.
It's not my intention in making this amendment to prevent any product of this committee going out to the churches, but only to prevent this product in this form from going out to the churches. And the amendment does not prohibit this presentation in a more professional form from going out. I have a Christian Education Committee make available perhaps this other Christian presentation as well, or something like that.
Yes, Brian, I'm concerned that I'm not able to get the best solution to this. I have not heard myself about the possible options of getting a more professional job done. This intrigues me, and if it's possible, I imagine the committee would be very supportive of something like this to get the what we want done accomplished. The one problem that we were also concerned about in wording it, saying out what it would be, and saying that the assembly would make available, we are very conscious of not wanting to put a financial burden on the CE committee. And I think there is a value in attempting to spell out more specifically what it is we are funding and where that funding is coming from. That's a secondary concern, but if we could somehow get the business accomplished of giving us an option of improving what we have done, I would be most excited about that, because we were struggling under time and limited talent to do the kind of job that I think we'd all like to be doing.
Number 42, Mr. Moderator, Mark Flowers, Mississippi Valley Presbytery, author amendment to the amendment. The original is to strike the word "do" and add the word "a" in the second line, the first "do." In that same line, write the word "word" as "authored by" and substitute the word "based on the presentation by." If I had a second to that, I'd like to speak to it.
You can speak to it as soon as I get a copy so I know what you're talking about.
If I understood Mr. Connor and what he was saying that if it could be clarified, I was trying to clarify his amendment. to say that what we would do is we would allow the Christian Education Committee to prepare our presentation, and it would be based on what we saw this afternoon. So that the presentation and the slides could be improved to a better technical presentation, but we would still remain with the same presentation and the same approach. And I find it from Mr. Connor, right, that's what he was speaking to do.
Would you read recommendation number 4 as you propose?
Yes, sir. That the general assembly makes available through the Christian Education and Publication Office a slide tape presentation on abortion based on the presentation by the Audubon Committee on Abortion, accompanied by a copy of the report. This then allows the committee to take that same presentation and seek to work with someone to come up with what would be a more professional presentation, using the presentation and still for all it has.
Mr. Clark, will you read the amendment to the amendment?
And Mr. Moderator, I'm not sure he's amending the amendment. Is the amendment with... Is Mr. Connor's amendment that voted?
No, the amendment was before.
I did too, I think. I'll accept that as a substitute to my amendment, and things can go forward from there.
I do not object to on the part of the assembly. That amendment is withdrawn. Then the amendment made by Mr. Connor is before him?
No, it must. Mr. Connor is withdrawing his amendment if that's possible, Mr. Moderator.
Well, that's...
Technically, it's not possible, Mr. Moderator, in that we've discussed it. Once you've allowed it to the floor and it's been discussed, it may not be simply withdrawn. It belongs to the House. It's not his amendment to withdraw any longer.
Thank you. Shall the amendment be amended in the terms that were last presented?
Mr. Moderator, I think that the terms of last presented are not in the terms of Mr. Connor's amendment, but rather in terms of what's presently in the book. And I think it's really out of order because it isn't addressed to Mr. Connor's amendment.
Well, it's been debated. It can't be really out of order. So please, if the study post is right, vote it down. Are you ready to vote?
Mr. Moderator, if I had erred in not putting it in different terms than what is in the book, I would appreciate your help.
Mr. Moderator, have the amendment from Mr. Connor read to him, and he'll have to listen to that very carefully, and it's different from what's printed in the book. Mr. Connor's amendment is as follows. That the General Assembly make available through the Christian Education and Publication Office slide tape presentation on abortion representing the position adopted in this report, accompanied by a copy of this report.
That's what the study council said, so we need the substitute for the assembly. This is a substitute to the amendment.
Mr. Moderator, the substitute would be to change number 4 as it's printed in the book in the following way. After the word office in line 2, strike Z and add the word A. Substitute A instead of B after the word office in line 2 of number 4. On the same line, after the word abortion, strike, quote, as offered by, end quote, and add the word, quote, based on the presentation by, end quote. And if Mr. If our commissioner could not then read it, Mr. Lowry could read it to us as he proposes the whole thing, that might be more helpful.
I'd be glad to, but they took both copies
they wouldn't help.
That the General Assembly makes available through the Christian Education and Publication Office a slide presentation on abortion based on the presentation by the Ordinance Committee on Abortion, accompanied by a copy of this report. Are you ready to vote? The motion before the House will shall just be substituted for Mr. Connors' amendment. All in favor, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, not knowing what the other position is, I just thought that for the best that I can gather, I think that this substitute would be in line with the end goal that the committee wants to obtain. Shall this amendment be substituted? All in favor of substituting it, say aye. Opposed, no. The motion is carried. The non-motion now would be as the text read it. The essential change would be the change in the article from B to A and the word following abortion based on the presentation. Are you ready to vote? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The motion is carried. Number 6, that all members of the Presbyterian Church in America be encouraged to seek to bring about substantial changes in existing legislation so that the human life of an unborn child be recognized and protected, and that special attention be given to informing our elected representatives at all levels of government of God's word pertaining to abortion, and to lift up in prayer these ministers of God in civil affairs. I move it, Mr. Moderator. This recommendation is before you. What is your pleasure? Are you ready to vote? All in favor of adopting this recommendation, say aye. Opposed, no. The motion is carried. Number 7. That the Presbyterian Church in America and by faith churches with whom we have the fellow relations to unite with us and issue in the following declaration. We condemn the intentional killing of unborn children. That last says in quote, the Subcommittee on Intersex Relations shall arrange implementation of this recommendation. Mr. Moderator, I move it.
Does that include that last sentence, Mr. Chairman?
The Subcommittee on Intersex Relations?
Yes, sir.
That is a part of the motion.
The motion is before you that we adopt recommendation number 7. What is your pleasure?
I see no one speaking to the microphone without objection. The motion is carried. Number 8. That the stated clerk of the General Assembly, on behalf of the Presbyterian Church in America, be directed to communicate to the President of the United States, the leaders of Congress, and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, this report along with the following statement. Quote, God declares in sacred scripture that civil government, no less than the church, is a divine institution and owes its authority to God. The Bible is the supreme revelation of God's will and teaches that the unborn child is a human person deserving the full protection of the sixth commandment. We shall not murder. We who love our nation in the name of God who alone is sovereign, call upon you to renounce the sin of abortion, to repent of the complicity in the mass slaughter of innocent unborn children who are persons in the sight of God, and to reverse the ruinous direction of both law and practice in this area. The obedience to God which places us in subjection to your rightful authority requires us to proclaim the counsel of God as it bears upon the same God-given authority. We are and remain your humble and obedient servant, Pope Kirk. If not over, I move it.
It's been moved. What is your pleasure? Number 5. This may seem a small point, but there is no such thing as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. The constitutional title is the Chief Justice of the United States. Number 7.
It's moderated June 2, Grace Presbyterian. There is nothing, essentially, in this statement in and of itself to which I object, but to which I object is it being addressed to the governing authorities. I do not have any real hope that I will say the ready to vote. Number seven. Bill Russell moved one to close the court. And I would like to move a substitute motion that Section 8 be deleted from this report. And it should have seconded our speaker. If the move wasn't seconded, the motion is before you to delete recommendation number 8. Well, Mr. Watson. I would like to say, sir, to the assembly, that in making this declaration to the president and so on, that we are merely making a focused announcement that we lost in PCUS and UTUSA. The same focused announcement was started last assembly with the action on Korea. And I would say, sir, that in my opinion, the law does not bless such focused announcements. We have in hand the ballot box. We also have the power of the pen that we are allowed to write to our representatives in Washington, D.C. and inform them of our stand, a strong stand against abortion as practiced in this country. But that is the way it should be done. And our people should be told. This pronouncement on abortion, I might add, is to our people. It's not to the world. This is a pronouncement for our people in the PCO. And I would say that our people should be urged to fight against abortion any way that they can in their community, through local organizations, and that they should be encouraged to write to their congressmen and to the president if they so desire or anyone else. And inform him of their stand and also inform him of their position at the ballot box. I thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to speak not as chairman, but simply as a personal participant. I might think it involves a conviction that may or may not be that of the committee. I hope that everyone the vote on this matter has read the section of the report that deals with it. I think it speaks for itself, how everyone comes down on the issue. But I'm deeply concerned at one relationship, and I want to share a conviction I have on it that I hope illustrates a stark difference that the majority of the committee sees in this. A year ago, the analogy's been made to the Korean issue of a year ago. And on that issue, I was extremely opposed to our speaking on that issue because it was a civil affair. I could not find in the scriptures where it told us where the president should deploy troops. I say that simply to say I was so disheartened then that I am equally turned in the exact opposite direction of this issue. It's clearly spoken to by God's word, and we have no... we would be grossly unfair not to speak out on an issue of such seriousness and such violation of God's law. And I think these issues are so different. And they need to be seen. One here, the Bible speaks an issue. Another here, it is a question of civil or political strategy or whatever. Number 10.
Within or without the truth.
And that's in the book of first order. And a reference to confession in chapter 31, section 4, says, sinners and penitents are to handle or conclude nothing but that which is ecclesiastical. And are not to enter a matter with civil powers that concern the commonwealth unless by way of humble petition in cases extraordinary or by way of advice. And I think this case is a case that is extraordinary since we heard in our presentation that 6 million children had been, unborn infants had been slain by a government decree. And we can make a humble petition in this extraordinary case.
Mike number 8, are you for or against the motion to release?
Jimmy Lyons from Evangelist.
Are you for or against the motion to release?
You have to wait a minute, Baptist.
You answer the question before I recognize you, sir.
I can't answer the question.
The question is, shall this be deleted? Are you for it or against it?
Yes, now, sir, then I want to call the question on the whole debate.
It's been moved that the question be called. The motion before you requires a two-thirds vote. Shall the question be called? The question is this, that number 8 be deleted. Those in favor of cutting off the vote at this point on that question, say aye. Opposed, no. The motion is called. Now the question before you is, shall number 8 be deleted? All in favor of deleting number 8, say aye. Opposed, no. The motion is lost. The question before you is the adoption of number 8. Mike, number 1.
Sir, I'm Francis Elliott from Mid-Atlantic Service Corps.
You're just speaking to Mike, please.
Francis Elliott from Mid-Atlantic Service Corps. I would like to name the question 8. I trust in the sentence we are and remain your humble and obedient servant. We are not servants of the government.
Is there something to that motion? It's something up, now you need to speak.
I say that we are not servants of the government. The government is our servant.
Are you ready to vote? All in favor of amending number 8 by deleting the last sentence? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
It seems to me the chair that the ayes have it. The ayes have it. The deleting call curve goes in favor of deleting the last sentence. Is it please hold up your right hand?
We need the tellers to do the counting, please.
Thank you.
those opposed to amending the recommendation number 8 will please hold up your right hand. I'm sorry, hold up your hand.
Moderator, the vote was 258 to delete, 183 not to delete.
The motion is lost.
The motion is to delete, so they drop those that line.
Do you want to make that now? The motion before us is the adoption of number 8 as amended. Are you ready to vote number 10?
If more otherwise disagree with the deletion, I move the question.
Well, the motion is to adopt. The motion is to call the question to adopt the recommendation number 8 as it is amended. Those in favor of cutting off debate say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is carried. The question is, shall number 8 as amended be adopted? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is carried.
Number 9. That persons be reminded of their responsibility to exercise scriptural discipline and that the grave sin of abortion is certainly ground for such discipline. Mr. Moderator, I move it.
Number 7.
Mr. Moderator, I'm a bit late. Gene Case, Grace Presbyterian, I would like to request the privilege that my negative vote on the last question be recorded.
Mr. Case of Grace Presbyterian.
Thank you, sir.
The motion is that number 9 be adopted. What is your pleasure? Are you ready to vote? Not seeing any one attempting to dissent, the motion is carried. I'm sorry. Number 15.
Yes, sir, Mr. Moderator. I'm Gordon Reed from Calvary Presbytery, and I'd like to make a motion to delete number 9. If seconded, we'd like to speak to it.
It's been moved and seconded that number 9 be deleted.
I speak against it for this reason. I see an implication here that we are trying to elevate a position of a General Assembly, 1978 General Assembly, to a constitutional level. That the position of this paper implied in number 9 is it becomes an official constitutional document, and if we disagree with the implications of this, if our understanding of Scripture would lead us to a possible exception to this, the implication thereby is that we would be subject to discipline of the Presbytery. This General Assembly in 1979 may reverse itself. I think it's a dangerous precedent when a General Assembly takes a position
to warn the churches, if you don't support this, you're subject to discipline. I think this is what is implied here. And so I would move to delete this. If I'm wrong in my understanding, I still need to delete it on the basis that many people interpret it thusly. And so I hope the assembly will delete this.
Number five.
Edwin Elliott from Covenant Presbytery. I strongly support the proposal to delete. I believe that anyone who's familiar with the history of American churches, and particularly with some of the groups with which we have relationships now, will say that the elevation of even the very best ideas through this backdoor route to a constitutional level by mandating procedures which are not specifically spelled out in our standards has led to completely restructuring the nature of our confessional standards in a de facto way. Many of the disruptions and the long years of bitterness and pain that we're trying to get over now are the result of well-intentioned men supporting the truth the wrong way. And while everyone in the assembly at this point presumably is in agreement, there are very few exceptions with the principle, we all need to very zealously guard our constitutional standards. It takes nearly 3 years to legally accomplish what we're proposing to do with a simple majority vote. In the past, it's sometimes taken a lifetime to undo good work that went wrong at the last minute in repairing Presbyterianism. We don't want that to happen to us, and we have the shattered remnants of other Presbyterian groups around us to share just where we're headed.
Number nine.
Tom Leon from Mississippi Valley. I'd like to thank Mr. Reed and Mr. Elliott for pointing out something that many of the students see. And speak in support of them as well. And hope somebody calls the question soon.
Are we ready to vote?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to accept the, what I think is the mentality of the committee on this question. If indeed we are mind in the principle that abortion is murder, then we are not elevating anything. We're simply recognizing our standards, but which public moral sin as a correct object of discipline. I'm reminding our judiciary of all that.
Are we ready to vote? The motion is that number nine be deleted. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The motion is carried.
Number 10. That Presbyterians be reminded of the responsibility of pastoral counsel and oversight of the members of their members, and that failure on the part of Presbyterians to affirm the sanctity of life of the unborn child, or failure to seek the protection of such children, should be considered as grounds for scriptural discipline. Mr. Moderator, I'll move it.
What is your pleasure? Number 9.
But number 9, this is up in my order. Number 9 to take it out. I move that number 10 be deleted on the same basis as number 9. For the same reason.
Motion is before you to delete number 10. What is your pleasure? Are you ready to vote? Number 6.
Western Carolina. I came to the same conclusion with regard to number 9. But I think here in number 10 we have a different species. And it has to do with the pastoral oversight, with the sectional care of the church. And I think that this is in good language, and this is a good place at the end of these statements to have it. And so I'm in favor of number 10.
Are you ready to vote? The motion is that number 10 be deleted. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
The motion is carried.
Mr. Secretary, Mr.
Mr. Moderator, that concludes our report, and I would move its acceptance as a whole.
Next is...
Yeah.
budget items that you have not vetted in part of this report. Budget is rather
Mr. Moderator, I have one announcement that can be made while the point being taken. I asked Richard Harris, for the clerk of Tennessee Valley, to come to the test table over here.
The motion to reconsider is lost. Mr. Chairman,
I've already moved the acceptance of the report as a whole, Mr. Moderator.
Number 14. I'm Arthur Rogers, President, Secretary, here in the order. May I offer an amendment to the report as a whole? Justice.
Recommendation number one.
I'm sorry, Mr. Rogers, we just settled that matter by the vote not to reconsider. So a motion affecting number one would not be in order. The motion is that this report as a whole be amended. Number 11.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to call for the question on the motion.
The call for the question has been made. Shall the question be put? Requires a two-thirds vote. All in favor of putting the question for aye? Opposed, no? The motion is carried. The motion before the House is the adoption of the report as a whole. All in favor of adopting the report as a whole, say aye? Opposed, no? The motion is carried.
We have a group of Korean dignitaries who have been waiting for an hour. I had expected this report to go much quicker than it has, and it's taken a whole hour to finish up this last portion of the report. I'm going to ask Reverend Don Estey of the Committee of Interfaith Relations to make the presentation of these brethren with us.
Is there objection to this presentation at this point? Ms. Estey.
Mr. Moderator, commissioners of the Sixth General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America, as a member of the Interfaith Relations Committee, I'm certainly very pleased to be able to introduce to you this fine group from the Korean Reformed Presbyterian Church that have come to us from all across America, and Dr. Samuel S. Kern will be introducing them, and I'll ask them to come forward at this time if they will. Will you bring them forward, Dr. Kern? Let's give them a real welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We are very glad to have this opportunity, and we thank you for giving us this privilege to introduce ourselves. Korean American Presbyterian Church was organized last February. In the United States, including Canada. I introduce the moderator of
Assembly, Reverend Lee E. Burr, who is the only one remaining leading martyr in Korea, because he was in prison almost 60 years because of defusing Japanese flying bombs. He's the only one man remaining leading martyr in Korea, Reverend Lee Yung-jo. I'd like to introduce Reverend Paul Palatin, who is one of the first missionaries in China to be sent by Korean Church. He served for 40 years in China. Now he's in Toronto, Canada, and he is a representative of the Presbytery of Canada and the Vice Moderator of our church. Reverend Paul Tenier, who is a pastor of Philadelphia Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles. Because he likes to love brotherhood love. And his church is one of the biggest congregations in our denomination. And he is the most powerful and influential pastor in our denomination from Los Angeles. Reverend Tang Yong Ching from New York. He is a vice moderator of New York Presbytery. He is a writer of Sunday school material and he is in Korea.
He is still writing Sunday school material. Reverend Paul Unbo, who is a pastor of Calvary Presbyterian Church in Chicago. He is the moderator of Chicago Presbytery, and he is also a writer of Sunday school material. Mr. Kim, Mr. Kim Young-sik, who is the only one elder here, who is the treasurer of our denomination. He is the elder of Philadelphia Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles. I'd like to introduce Dr. Lee Sung-yun, who is a member of Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod. Actually, he is one of our best friends and the close relationship with our church. And he dedicated most of his time to organize our church. And this church was organized at Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia last February. And we appreciate this Dr. Lee's laboring. Let me introduce by myself. I'm a state clerk of this church, and I'm a pastor of Korean Reformed Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. All right, now I want our moderator to give a brief address and translate, interpreted by Dr. Lee. 바쁘시군요. 저희들은 일가족을 허락해 주셔 고맙습니다. It is a great opportunity to greet you from Korean Christian. 여러분도 우리와 같이 자랑스럽고 영광스러운 개혁주의 신앙을 가진 줄 믿고 감사합니다.
I appreciate and proud of you because of you have a Christian reformed faith like us. Let us try to evangelize the whole world with our reformed faith. This age is really chaos and doomed and also mixed world. We pray and bless you that all our God love you and enough blessing to you and your church. Thank you very much.
I can't speak Korean, but I'm going to ask the other David Lipton if he will give.